Let us continue in prayer. God, thank you for this morning to gather in your name. Thank you that you were awake long before we arose this morning, that you have invited us into this day and into this place and into this time with each other and with you. Thank you that you've been preparing for this moment. Help us, Lord, in this moment to be present to you. Give us ears to hear your word, that we may truly live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you know that my family and I went on vacation a few weeks ago up to the North Shore. First time that we've gone up there together to go exploring and hang out, and we had a marvelous time. It really is beautiful up there. We had a lot of decisions to make while we were up there. Maybe you were on vacation and you had a similar experience. What are we going to have for breakfast this morning? What are we going to have for lunch? Should we cook dinner in, or should we go out to dinner this evening? Should we go to this waterfall or that waterfall? Should we take this hike or that hike? Should we go swimming in Lake Superior or not? Some of us decided one way, and others in our family decided the other way. I don't think there was really a bad decision to make along the whole week. We had made a decision earlier, several months earlier, to go up to the North Shore. Once we decided that, all the rest of the decisions, they kind of fell into place. They were much easier to make. It's the way it is in life. Sometimes we have crucial decisions to make, important decisions to make, and we need to spend time making them carefully. And then there are a plethora of other decisions to be made, and many of them can be important as well, but they pale in comparison to the foundational decisions that we make along the way in our lives. And of course, out of all the decisions that we make, the one that we look at this morning is the most foundational of all. When we make this decision, there will still be many, many important and less important decisions to be made in our lives, but if we make this one and we stay clear about it, then all of the other decisions that we make in our lives will begin to fall into place. They'll become easier for us to make. And of course, if we forget this decision, if we begin to drift away from this decision, get distracted from this foundational decision, then we can find that other decisions begin to unravel as well and become harder to make. And life begins to unravel in many ways for us. So I'd invite you this morning, as we look at Joshua 24, to pray for God's Spirit to help you consider once again, or maybe for the first time, this most foundational decision of all. This passage takes place at the end of Joshua's life. You may remember Joshua, this great leader of Israel, following in Moses' footsteps. He's about 110 years old at this point. And as Moses did at the end of his life, so Joshua is doing at the end of his life, gathering all the people of Israel to consider once again this most important of decisions. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, in my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. I'm losing it here. Anybody help me?
And
who did those great signs in our sight? It is the Lord who protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua goes on from here to push them back again. He says, I don't think you realize how important this decision is. I don't think that you can follow through on this decision. I think you're going to waver and wander, and it's going to get worse for you. But they say, no, we will serve the Lord. And they do. We learn at the beginning of the book of Judges that this generation follows through on this decision. And next week, we'll talk some about what it means to follow through on this most crucial of decisions. But today, let's spend some time with the decision itself, this foundational decision. We'll look at verse 14 in particular. Because one of the things maybe you've heard me talk about before I love to do in meditating on Scripture is to take just a verse, like verse 14, chapter 24, and emphasize a different word, reading over the verse again and again, but emphasize a different word each time through. I invite you to try that on your own. But let's try that for a few moments together right now. The first word in the passage, in the verse, is the word now. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. What a crucial word for us to think about in the midst of the transitions that Pastor Jim mentioned in the prayer as we head toward the fall. I can't tell you how many parents I've spoken to in the past week who are trying to figure out how they're going to juggle their calendars as they come toward the school season ahead. If children have sports and music, thank you, Grimes family. We've got church activities, academic activities. There are so many things going on in our life. And as we go into this new season, the question isn't what did you do last year or what are you going to do next year, but what are you going to do now? And of course, that's true for those who are going through other life transitions right now. How are you going to revere the Lord now as you've got that child in your house that is taking all of your time, your sleep, your emotions? How are you going to revere the Lord now? As you've lost a loved one that was a centerpiece in your life, and now what is it going to mean for you to put God first, to serve God in this season of your life? Now, as maybe you're healing and you're feeling stronger, or now as you're getting weaker and your body is failing. Now, in the midst of our world, as some things look like they're getting really good and other things, like the stock market or the heat, or look like they're getting worse. What does it mean now in your life? And now for us as a congregation, to revere the Lord and to serve Him. Moses asked this question of the people at the end of his life. Joshua has asked this question of the people back in Joshua chapter 8 when they gathered. Again and again we come to this question of, will we revere the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly? And this fall, as we enter into the season ahead, it's time for each one of us and all of us to make that decision yet again. Now, therefore, we'll emphasize the second word in this. Whenever you see a therefore in the scriptures, you need to ask, what's the therefore? Therefore. I love the part of this passage that we left out in the middle. It's where, as the Israelites do again and again, they look back to see God's faithfulness in the past as they make their decisions about where they're going in the future. But one of the things I love about this particular passage is that it's not the people so much looking back as God looking back. God tells the story of God's people from God's perspective. Listen to a few verses of these between verse 2 and verse 13. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, and Jacob and his children went down to Egypt." He goes on to talk about how he sent Moses and Aaron down to Egypt to lead them out, how they spent time in the wilderness, and then God brought them through various battles to Jericho. They took on the people of Jericho. And God says that I gave the people of Jericho into your hands. And also, and this list is one of those, you know, those lists you find in the Bible that you can stumble over, but it's worth taking a moment to consider it. All these peoples against whom the Israelites fought: the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I handed them over to you. You know, do you ever have one of those days or one of those weeks or one of those seasons in your life where you feel like you're just getting hit again and again and again and again? And to know as you look back that God is with you in the midst of that, that as He has been faithful in the past, He will be faithful as you go forward. I was speaking with somebody in our church this past week who is going through a wonderful and challenging season in her life. Some really terrific things happening, and in the midst of that, and how often is life like this? There's some really hard things going on too. Just the change itself is hard. And we spoke about this verse and considered our own lives, what it would mean for us to walk with God through our history together. And for God to be telling the story. You know, Mark, remember that time that you hit that dead end? You know, kind of like the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming behind you and there's nowhere to go forward. And in this passage, God says, "I brought darkness between you and the Israelites, and I covered them with water. I provided a path, a way for you." And I think in my own life, God's saying, "Remember that time you came to the dead end? There was no way forward, and it looked like you could go nowhere? And you waited. And then I opened up that door, that pathway that you could not have imagined yourself." Do you remember that? Do you remember that time that you were struggling so much and I brought along that mentor? That person that you respected so much and you had no idea that he would be a part of your life. And I brought him to you, and you learned so much through that most difficult time in your life, so that continues to feed you and guide you as you go forward. Do you remember how faithful I was? Now, as you go forward, will you trust me? Will you revere me? Will you serve me? And what does it mean in your own life to look back at the history of God's work with his people, and even in your own life, as you face the challenges and the opportunities of your life right now? Now, at this point in your life, therefore, revere the Lord. And that word revere, many of the translations put it as fear the Lord. You know, one of those words that we cringe a little bit toward. We don't like to say fear the Lord very much, but actually the scriptures use that term to contrast all those other things that we fear in life. Now think about those powers. Some of them here in this world, whether it be the power of cancer, or the power of the economy, or the power of your boss. Maybe it's the spiritual powers that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, those powers that go beyond what we can even see. In the face of all these things we can become anxious about, we can fear, we're called to fear the Lord. And suddenly everything else comes into perspective, and we recognize who we really fear and who we'll really trust. Now, therefore, fear, revere, trust the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who did bring his people out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, the one who did give his only son, who died for us and rose again from us so that we might not even fear death itself. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. And I'll conclude with that word, serve. I believe that that's one of those words that we in our society here in the United States tend to lose sight of at times. We're a consumer society, aren't we? We look for those things that will feed us, that will bless us, that will help us. We come to church or churches looking for what's good for us. We come to God and we want to receive his love and his forgiveness and his grace and his blessing. And all of that is as it should be. But it's not the whole story. That as we've been loved, we're called to love. As God has served us in Jesus Christ, we're called to allow that Spirit of Christ to flow through us in such a way that we become servants as well, that we actually follow him on that path of service. Not just to God in some general abstract way, but in service to God through our service to other people. And what does it mean in our lives now, at this point in our lives now, at this point for us as a congregation now, what does it mean for us to serve the Lord in some practical, specific, sacrificial, meaningful ways? And as we reflect on this decision that God places before us, each one of us, and all of us together this morning, I'd invite you to think it through all the way. Will you trust and fear and revere the Lord now in your life, in the face of all that's going on for you in our world? And will you serve the Lord? What will that look like this fall for you? The now for each one of us is different. Your availability, your ability may be different than it was last year or will be next year. But what will it mean for you now to revere the Lord and to serve Him? I'm so grateful that we've had a number of people visiting this summer, our church, coming and checking out Salem. And I'm hoping that some of you who may be here in this room will decide that now is the time for me to revere the Lord and to serve Him here at Salem as a part of this congregation. I'd love for that to be the case. But whether it's here or it's at another church, the challenge for each one of us is to hear this word of God through Joshua and to make a decision. Where will it be that you will put God first? How will it be this fall that you will make God the center, the most crucial decision of all? That as you think about what you or your family will be doing this fall, that you make this of putting God first. First in all of your other decisions. For each one of us, may it be so. Off to college, off to that new job, off into the racing schedule of this fall. What will it mean in your life to revere God above all and to serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness? I'd invite you to bow in a time of prayer right now, and even to make that decision right now, to say, yes, Lord, like the Israelites on that day long ago, I will serve the Lord, for He is my God. We will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come to the end of the summer, as the fall season is about to begin, thank You for gathering us here before You. We present ourselves before You, Lord. And we pray that You would guide us forward into this new season, that now in this season of our lives, we may truly revere You above all others, that we may serve You in sincerity and in faithfulness, that no matter what anybody else might do, may we say, as for me in my household, we will serve the Lord. Thank You. We pray in Jesus' name.